Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to the Wednesday broadcast of Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett coming to you, pastor of Hickory Ridge Community Church. So glad that you're joining us on this Wednesday. And I don't know where you are today on this day after the election, and I don't even know if we know who the president is yet, but we know one thing, our God rules, our God reigns. Regardless of who wins the election, God is still on the throne. And I wanted to talk to you today about a subject that I think is very, very important that all believers understand, and not only believe, but understand this very important subject. And that is, I want to talk to you today about the subject of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, the resurrection changes everything. You know, Easter is a great day to come to church, and it's a great day for you to go and worship. And for some people, that's the day they go to church on Easter and then on Christmas. There's really no better day to do that than on Easter Sunday. I would encourage you to come more often than just Easter and Christmas. But as you think about the resurrection of Christ, it literally has changed everything. On February 27th, 1991, at the height of Desert Storm, Ruth Dillo received a very sad message from the Pentagon. It stated that her son, Clayton Carpenter, Private First Class, had stepped on a mine in Kuwait and was dead. Ruth Dillo later wrote, "I can't begin to describe my grief and my shock. It was almost more than I could bear. For 3 days I wept. For 3 days I expressed anger and loss. For 3 days people tried to comfort me to no avail because the loss was just too great." But 3 days after she received that message, the telephone rang. The voice on the other end said, "Mom, it's me, Clayton. I'm alive." Ruth Dillo said, "I couldn't believe it at first, but then I recognized his voice and he really was alive." The message she had received was all a mistake, she said. "I laughed and I cried and I felt like turning cartwheels because my son, whom I thought was dead, was really alive. I'm sure none of you can even begin to understand how I felt." Well, I think the disciples on that first Easter Sunday morning felt a little bit like Ruth Dillo felt. Friday and all day Saturday, they mourned until finally, on the first day of the week, early in the morning, some women went there and on their way to the tomb, wondering how they're going to roll away that huge stone, discovered that the tomb was empty. They arrive and they find that the stone had already been rolled away, and the angel was there and told them, "You're looking in the wrong place. You're looking for Jesus among the dead, and he's not dead. He's alive. He's arisen, even as he said. He indeed has arisen." This is what we celebrate every Sunday morning, not just on Easter Sunday, but every Sunday morning. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because if there is no Easter, if there is no resurrection, we should abandon all things Christian. Well, I want to look at the resurrection story in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to read more of the text than I ordinarily would read, but I hope that you kind of follow along as you listen today. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is writing, "Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news that I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is the good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you. Unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place." Verse 3. "I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me, that Christ died for our sins just as the Scriptures said, that he was buried and that he was raised again the third day, just as the Scriptures said. And that he was seen by Peter and then by the 12, and after that he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. And if Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless. Your faith is useless. And we as apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you're still guilty of all of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has raised from the dead, and he is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. And what value was there in fighting wild beasts in these Ephesians if there is no resurrection from the dead? And if there is no resurrection, let's eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. You see, everybody loves Jesus, right? Everybody loves the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, even the politicians claim to love the Sermon on the Mount. They probably haven't read it, but they claim to love it. We love the story of the prodigal son. We love the sayings of Jesus. We love the fact that he fed the poor, and he loved the poor, and he loved justice and mercy and grace. And everywhere he went, he healed people. You see, even if you're not a follower of Jesus or a Christian, there's so much that you want to love about Jesus. Everything that you know about Jesus, everything that you appreciate about Jesus, the sayings of Jesus that you quote, the stories of Jesus that you love, the examples that Jesus left, all that came from men who believe he rose from the dead. Everything we know about Jesus came from the writings of men who in those same writings said, oh yeah, and by the way, he rose from the dead. But the problem is this. You believe, and even though we're busy people, and we have jobs, and we have kids to raise, and even though we've got to get to soccer practice, and even though we've got to play tennis, and we've got to be there for our neighborhood association meeting, and even though we're very busy, many of us don't have the time to be theologically sophisticated. So I want to help you understand what you believe and why you believe it when it comes to the matter of the resurrection. Now, please don't take this the wrong way. I'm certainly not trying to insult anybody's intelligence, but I have found that so many times we believe things without digging deeper into discovering why we exactly believe what we claim to believe. So let's look at the resurrection of Christ, and let's take it from the angle, if Jesus never rose again from the dead, then what we say about Jesus and what the Bible says about Jesus is really a waste of time. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 15:14. And if Christ has not been raised from the dead, we have nothing to preach. In other words, there's no meaning, there's no purpose, there's no reason to even gather to worship. We have nothing to say about Jesus, and anything that we could say about him is nothing more than a pure waste of time. You see, the only reason you know there was a Jesus, the only things that we know about Jesus were written by the same people who told us he physically rose from the dead. I have a friend who is a missionary in the Philippines, and many years ago, on a dare, he went to a Christian bookstore and stole a Bible. Now, what are you going to do when you steal a Bible from a Christian bookstore? Well, he decided he'd read it. And he read the Bible, and he discovered that the Bible says you shouldn't steal. So he continued to read it, but he also learned that Jesus is the main character in the Bible, and he discovered what Jesus did for him, and he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior, all because he stole a Bible and started reading it. Amazing. He took that Bible and returned it to the manager of that store and told his story of how he stole the Bible and wanted to bring it back or at least pay for it. And the manager said, you can keep this Bible and you can have that Bible as a reminder of your salvation experience. Well, that guy today is still a missionary in the Philippines. So I guess if you're going to steal something, you ought to steal the Bible. As a matter of fact, I have some friends who are Gideons, and they tell us all the time, if you go to a hotel and you find a Gideon Bible there in the hotel dresser drawer, you are welcome to steal it. You can take it, and they'll be happy to replace it, okay? Well, here's the second thing when it comes to this matter of the resurrection. You know, if Jesus never rose again from the dead, not only is all the things that we say about Jesus a waste of time, but our faith is meaningless, and we're really delusional. Verse 14 and verse 17, as I bring these two verses together, we have nothing to believe, and our faith is delusional. If Jesus never rose again, we are being good, and we're being good for nothing. There's no purpose behind our goodness. You see, one day you're going to stand before God. As I grew older, I stopped believing in certain things. I stopped believing in a tooth fairy. I stopped believing in Santa Claus. And I wanted to keep my doubts about Santa Claus for as long as I could because I loved the material advantage of believing in Santa Claus, and I loved the advantage of believing in a tooth fairy because my mom and dad would put a dollar under the pillow every time I lost a tooth. But you know, I've never heard of an adult coming to a believing understanding that there is no Jesus, one who has truly been born again. You see, our faith is based upon the resurrection of Christ. You know, if Jesus never rose again, not only is our message about Jesus a waste of time, not only is our faith meaningless and we're delusional, but number three, we're actually lying about God. Acts chapter 2, verse number 32, the church is being founded, and as they're preaching in the day of Pentecost and God is raising up the church, we discover that they are giving a testimony that is saying, more than that, we are shown to be lying about God if Jesus never rose again from the dead. Peter acknowledges that as he's giving this message. But Jesus did rise again from the dead, and he says, we are his witnesses. We are eyewitnesses of the fact that Jesus rose again. If he hadn't rose again, then we're lying about who God is. You see, everything that you think about heaven, you can throw it away if Jesus never rose again from the dead. You see, whether you've ever read the Bible or not, whether you believe in Jesus or not, 90% of what you think about heaven came from the guys who told us that Jesus rose again from the dead. You should abandon everything Christian if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. To try to say that he didn't rise and to hang on to this is to be extraordinarily inconsistent. In fact, it's really to be irrational, as you're going to see here in just a moment. Well, number four, if Jesus never rose again from the dead, we are lost and we really should be pitied. Verse number 18, Paul says, believers in Christ who have died are lost if Jesus never rose from the dead. You see, if Jesus never rose again from the dead, heaven is a fable. Praying in Jesus' name is complete foolishness. You may as well pray in your name or in your mother's name or in your friend's name. Don't pray in Jesus' name. He's lost and you're lost too if Jesus never rose again from the dead. And we should be pitied to believe such a fairy tale if Jesus never rose again from the dead. Well, there's something else about this fact of Jesus rising from the dead. And if he never rose again from the dead, then all of our sacrificing, all of the sacrifices that we have ever made, they're all in vain. Look what it says in verse number 30 and 32. Paul says, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus for merely human reasons, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, and tomorrow we're just going to die. You see, if Jesus never rose again, you're generous for nothing. As a matter of fact, when you think about this matter of generosity, generosity was not a concept prior to the New Testament. Nowhere in the Old Testament were you commanded to be generous. You were told that you had to do certain things out of a command. Giving was not optional. You were demanded to give. If Jesus never rose again from the dead, you are being generous for nothing. Now, let me ask you a question. How long is a decade? A decade, you would say, is 10 years. And how many decades is 2 decades is how many years? 20 years, right? 20 years. Okay, let me ask you this. Who recorded that song, Achy Breaky Heart? Who is that? Billy Ray Cyrus. Now, if you look at that song, most of us have no idea what the words of that song actually mean. We know the end of the part. But don't tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart. Don't tell me that you broke my heart, my achy, breaky heart. He might blow up and kill this man. When you think about that whole song, you look at that song and it's written about a girl, and it's written about the world would have never known this girl. You can break my clothes or I'm a goner, or you can tell your friends just what a fool I've been and laugh and joke about me on the phone. You can tell my arms go back into the phone. You can tell my feet to hit the floor, or you can tell my lips to tell my fingertips they won't be reaching out to you anymore, but don't tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart. I just don't think it understand. And if you tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart, he might blow up and kill this man. What is Mr. Cyrus trying to tell us through that song? Billy Ray's trying to say that if you break off with me, it might kill me. All my sacrificing for you is in vain. We could say the same thing as followers of Christ, because the resurrection changes everything. Well, let's talk about what it changes. What is different because of the resurrection of Christ? Well, first of all, we could say that it's transformed our view of the cross and of the tomb. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 21 and 22. For as by a man came to death, By a man has come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. You see, the cross was known in the biblical times as only an instrument of horrible death, rough wood soaked with human blood. So terrible was this form of execution that the Roman Empire prohibited the crucifixion of Roman citizens. Crucifixion was only for the worst of the slaves and the enemies of the empire. But today, because of his resurrection, we wear a replica of the cross as a piece of jewelry, a thing of beauty. For all around the world, the cross is seen as a symbol of hope and a reminder of God's love for us. Well, what about the tomb? You know, before the resurrection, for the most part of the world, the grave was looked upon as the final chapter, the closing of this great door, the end of everything. But because of his resurrection, we can rejoice today that beyond death is where life really begins, and it will never end. That makes you wonder, doesn't it? Why we spend so much time worrying and fretting about material things. All of our lives, it seems that we work and we struggle to accumulate things that we think are important. But when we're dealing with death and what happens after death, all of these things seem so important, so inconsequential. What difference does it really make what kind of car we drive, or what kind of house we live in, or what clothes we wear? If we're talking about eternity, then what difference do things really make? You see, on one side of the resurrection, everything we see is temporary. Only the things we cannot see are eternal. What a difference the resurrection makes. Well, the resurrection also transforms our view of the cross and the tomb. But secondly, it also transforms our view of life. You know, doubt has ruined more people than failure. Doubt has destroyed so many people. The reason I am so adamant about driving through doubt is I see where our young people are today. And it's not the fact that we don't have enough information about Christianity. It's that we have planted the seed of doubt into the minds of our children by not living what we claim we believe. In Romans chapter 6, verses 4 to 8, Paul says, "We died, we were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We're no longer slaves to sin. But when Christ died, he set us free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him." You see, life becomes more meaningful. Here's a survey question. Do you think the next generation will be better off than the present generation? You see, life was never about being better off. It was always about survival. There was never asked that question before the resurrection of Jesus until Jesus rose again from the dead. Life becomes more meaningful because of the resurrection of Christ. Well, here's the third thing I want you to know about the resurrection of Christ. It transforms our view of the cross. It transforms our view of life. But it also transforms our view of death. In John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus said this, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Jesus asks this very penetrating question. Do you believe this? You see, our God is in the business of changing lives. Our God is in the business of radically changing lives. And it all begins with this matter of forgiveness. Our view of death changes when we realize that we have been forgiven. We realize that death is something that we walk through as a follower of Christ, and we walk through the portals of death, and we enter into eternity. We enter into our eternal reward, not based upon our goodness, but based upon the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Dale Evans once said, "I spend most of my life searching for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Then I finally found it at the foot of the cross. That's where you find meaning. That's where you find purpose in your life, at the foot of the cross. You know, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 52, Paul turns our attention and he says, I want to tell you of a mystery. And here's the mystery. We will not all sleep, but we'll all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. That's what the resurrection is all about, changing that which is dead and bringing it back to life. The Bible tells us that we are new creations in Christ. The old is done away with. Behold, all things have become new. In Henry Garrity's book, Portraits of Perseverance, I read this fascinating story about a man named Carl. You see, Carl was a very rich man who owned a great estate. One of his favorite pastimes was riding horseback through his valley, just looking around and seeing all of the beautiful things that he owned and really just congratulating himself over this great mass of wealth that he had. Carl was rich. Carl was influential. Carl had more money than he knew what to do with. Well, one day as Carl was riding along, he came up over a hill, and in the distance he saw one of his tenant farmers, an old man by the name of Hans. It was lunchtime, and he saw that Hans had set a little table under a shade tree and was getting ready to eat. But before he ate, he bowed his head and he folded his hands and he prayed to thank God for his food. Carl watched as the old man prayed. Then he looked at his meal. It was only a slice of coarse bread and a piece of cheese. With a snare, Carl said, "If that's all I had to eat, I wouldn't even bother to pray." Well, Hans replied humbly, "It's enough, and I'm thankful that God has provided it." Taken aback by the old man's answer, Carl turned his horse and prepared to ride away. But before he could leave, old Hans said, "Carl, could you just wait a minute? I need to tell you something. I had a dream last night. In my dream, I saw a beautiful scene, and then I heard a voice saying, 'Tonight, the richest man in the valley will die. Tonight, the richest man in the valley will die.'" "Poppycock," said Carl as he rode off toward home. But as he was riding, the words of old Hans haunted him. "Tonight, the richest man in the valley will die." Up until that point, Carl felt quite well. But now he was beginning to experience pains in his chest. He wondered, could it possibly be true? Am I going to die tonight? When he reached home, he called his doctor and he told about old Hans' dream and of the pains that he was feeling. The doctor said, "Well, it doesn't sound like anything you ought to be too concerned about, but just to put your mind at ease, I'll come over tomorrow to examine you." So assured, Carl went to bed. The next morning, there was a knock on the door, and the messenger said, "Carl, old Hans died last night. Truly the richest man in the valley died last night." You know, the Bible talks about death. It's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. It is my hope and prayer today as you're listening to this broadcast that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That you don't just know facts about him, that you just don't know information about his life and his death and his burial and his resurrection. All those things are really important to know all this information. But more important than that is, do you know Jesus and does he know you? If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, today could be your day of salvation. The Bible says that we will call upon the Lord. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, would you do that right now? I don't care if you're driving or maybe you're home or you're listening online. Would you pray to receive that free gift of salvation? Acknowledging that you're a sinner, acknowledging that sin has separated you from God, acknowledging that your life is broken, your life is a disaster, but Jesus has come along. And he's rescued you from that darkness. He took the penalty of all of your sins upon himself, and he died on that cross, but he rose again. All you have to do is believe that you're a sinner, believe that Jesus died on that cross for your sins, and put your faith in him, and you'll have everlasting life. If I can help you with that and provide more information to you about that, would you give me a call? The church number is 757-421-7500, and I promise you I will call you back as soon as I possibly can. Call us at Hickory Ridge Community Church, 757-421-7500. Leave a message for me, and I'll call you back as soon as I can. I would love to pray with you. I'd love to share with you more from God's Word, how you can grow in your faith. And so, Lord, we just want to thank you for the opportunity just to be gathered and searching about the resurrection of Christ and being blessed by what Christ has done for us. I pray that we will be more like Christ as a result of listening to this broadcast, that our lives will be in sync with you and the purpose that you have for our lives. I thank you for those who just now may have received this free gift of salvation. I pray that they begin their journey well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.